Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
In our podcast a few weeks ago, we talked to Rusty Reynolds of New Jersey and heard his story of his wife's battle with glioblastoma multiforme, an aggressive and deadly brain cancer, which sadly took her life. Today, we're going to talk to another husband whose wife had the same diagnosis 3 years ago. But thanks to cannabis, she is alive today. Here to tell his wife's story is Greg Carlson from Illinois. Greg, thanks for doing this. We appreciate you telling your wife's story.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Now, being diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme is really a death sentence for the majority of sufferers. Only 25% survive more than a year, and only 5% survive more than 5 years. Greg, your wife is on her way to being one of those 5%. Take us back to before she got the diagnosis and tell us how she was feeling.
Okay. Yeah, she was in 2016. She noticed as she was driving to work, she was missing the turns. So she literally could not see the streets. And she found it odd. And so she made an appointment with the eye doctor, the eye doctor did the examination and said to her, you either have multiple sclerosis, you've had a stroke, or you've got a brain tumor.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what happened after that?
We did it. She, recommended an immediate follow-up MRI, which we had done the next day, and it was pretty obvious it was a brain tumor. And then we sought some counsel and made the decision to go to Northwestern Medicine Hospital in Chicago, to the emergency room, and she was admitted at that time. So,
Greg, what was it like for the two of you emotionally the day she was told she had stage 4 brain cancer?
Yeah, that's, it's the deer in the headlights type of thing. You don't know what's going on and you're just sort of caught off guard. It's not the norm, obviously. I remember sitting in the room, I can still visualize sitting in the room and the doctor saying what it was. And I said, could you spell that? He couldn't even spell it. He says, give me a piece of paper and pencil to spell it because it was so foreign to us, and then he gave us the prognosis. And it was quite... it sets you back in the chair. Let's put it that way. I would even say you feel at that point in time, you feel obviously hopeless. So
you feel hopeless. You feel numb because of what has transpired.
Right. Right.
And you're in shock. I mean, she goes to an eye doctor and she's left with door number 1, 2, or 3, none of which were good.
Right. Right.
Then the next day it's all moving so fast.
Correct. Crazy. That's the thing that, since you said that, that brings back, it moves so fast. you would think it'd be slow motion, but it actually isn't. You're moving so fast with all these decisions. And, my thought was, I just want that tumor out of her, not realizing all the things that go along with that,
What sort of treatment did she undergo?
We had the initial surgery, the craniotomy, the first week, September of 2016. We've had so many people we know have gone through cancer treatment with radiation and chemo. We didn't want to do that. We're pretty diligent about trying to eat fairly healthy overall, and we try to resist some of the standard of care when we can, and we decided to do that initially. The doctor thought we were crazy, which we probably, at that time we were. But I used that time to start researching, the problem is I ran out of time. And Thanksgiving Eve of 2016, she woke up in the midnight and had excruciating pressure in the brain. went to the local hospital. They did a CT scan, confirmed the tumor was back. They sent us back to Chicago. And at that time, the brain surgeon that did the initial, that specializes in glios, was on vacation because it was the holiday weekend. And we didn't know this, but there was another neurosurgeon there filling in. And he felt compelled on that Saturday to do an additional craniotomy to relieve the pressure. And we found out later he was a back surgeon, but he has done brain surgery, but he's a back surgeon. And then the original surgeon returned from his vacation on Monday and came in and told us that he had only gotten half the tumor. But he said, the good news is, he goes, I think I can get the rest of it. But he would not proceed unless we would agree to doing chemo and radiation, which just, you know, was tough to swallow. But at that point in time, if I'm being honest, you know, you're desperate to keep your wife alive. And so you make decisions and I'm like, okay, let's do it. So she had two craniotomies within 5 days of each other.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Is that normal for a surgeon to demand that you have chemo or radiation before operating?
I think it's because it was our second time around. Okay. And we had refused it the first time around. So I think that he was like, you know, if you don't do this, you're not, there's no point, you know? And at that time we realized now, and we knew then, I guess I should say, that the chemo and radiation was really not, it's not curative. It's just to extend life, you know? So
I was reading something the other day about glioblastoma, and it said that they're very difficult due to several complicating factors. One is the tumor cells are very resistant to conventional therapies. And I wonder if doctors know that. It says the brain is susceptible to damage from conventional therapy. Mm-hmm. The brain has a very limited capacity to repair itself. And many drugs cannot cross the blood-brain barrier to act on the tumor. And one of those treatments that can cross the blood-brain barrier to act on the tumor is cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
Has she used cannabis?
Yes. I'd love to share the story how we got introduced to it, actually. Interestingly, when I was researching initially, when she was first diagnosed, I saw a post, I think it was even on Pinterest, if I'm not mistaken, where a lady had posted she had been cured of a GBM, a glioblastoma, using cannabis. And I had my daughter, Lauren, I had daughter Lauren look and see if she could contact that person. And she was never able to contact her. But I remembered that post. We actually ended up going to Tijuana, Mexico to Hope for Cancer. And we started doing their therapies. And I met an individual there. I'll never forget his name, Sundip Shah. And his daughter was there and she was using cannabis. And I became interested in that. And he started sharing with me how it works and some of the details about cannabis. And then he introduced me to a couple of men that were producing cannabis oil in California. So when we returned to Illinois, I immediately was in contact with them to start having it shipped from California to Illinois.
No, Illinois, is that a legal state?
It is. Yes, it is medicinally. And now, as of January 1st this year, recreationally, yes.
How much cannabis was your wife taking?
Well, I probably got Sally up to around 400 milligrams in a 24-hour period, I would say. She does have some chemical sensitivities. When I say chemicals, I should say anything that is, she does have some sensitivities, but she was doing pretty well. But that's about the maximum dosage I could give her. But she was quite a bit loopy, you know, oftentimes. And at one point in time, I went to a seminar hosted by Regina Nelson. I think she has a PhD, and she wrote a book about cannabis. I was reading it. And she was hosting a seminar in Peoria, Illinois. I went down there for a full-day seminar to learn more about cannabis. And, you know, this whole 1 gram a day thing is out there. And I'm like, how do you do it? how do you do, and to, even to this day, I don't know how you do a gram a day. I don't know how it's done. But I came back from that seminar determined to eradicate this cancer. And I slowly started to increase her, but my slowly increasing was not as slow as it should have been. And she had an episode where she got too much THC. And so we had to shut it down for 2 weeks just to sort of clear the air and then try to regroup and start again. So,
You know, that whole gram a day thing, Greg, has really gone out the window, basically. You know, I mean, there's so many variables. And I can tell you that there are a number of people, myself being in that list, that got nowhere near a gram a day and was able to eradicate cancer. So was your wife doing all the oil orally?
Yes, I would put it in capsules, you know, double O vegan capsules, and I would have her take it that way. When you say oral, she was ingesting it. She wasn't taking it sublingually because she just couldn't handle the taste and the all that kind of stuff. So I just made it like that for her.
Right. Because with suppositories, 95% of the people that I've played a part in clearing do a regime of suppository morning and afternoon, oral dose at night. And with suppositories, in 90% of cases, people don't get high.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the key is you want it just past the inner sphincter muscle. You don't want it any further. And mm-hmm. I always share this with people because I think they have an aha moment. But I was speaking with this woman once. She was a little rough around the edges. And she's like, oh, you mean where it gets to that part where it kind of sucks it in? And I'm like, yeah, that would be it. So when I'm speaking with people and telling them how far to put it in, I always share that story. And they all laugh and they all get it when I say that. So,
okay.
Yeah, so just an FYI for you.
I might want to follow up on that treatment just in case, you know, Sally has a reoccurrence or whatever's going on. I'd like to have some knowledge of that.
Yeah. Well, you can always contact me and Regina. She's great. She's one of the people on my friends list. So was she doing it three times a day, Greg, or what?
Yeah, we would do it. Yeah, I was giving her a heavier dose at night.
Right.
And yes, we were doing it morning. I think I was even doing it four times a day, just, you know, smaller doses, four times, you know, three times a day. And at night I was doubling it down. So she was sleeping very well. You know, she would sleep awesome. But when she woke up, she was a little bit foggy, you know, and I would give her a chance to clear, and then we'd start doing it again, you know? So, yeah, I can't remember the dosages throughout the day. We're actually coming up on 4 years, September this year. So it's been a while since I was starting that regimen. I've dialed back to more of a maintenance dose. She's probably taking around 100 milligrams, a day roughly now.
Right. So. Right. And when you were getting this oil, was it a single strain oil or multiple strains? Do you know? Do you
recall? Right. You know, when I was getting it from California, which lasted for about, I'm just going to say 3 to 4 to 5 months. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. But then I switched over to Gorilla Glue, if I can name a brand, you know, whatever. Yeah. I mean, I was using Gorilla Glue exclusively because, again, I didn't understand the benefit of having, quote unquote, the salad approach where you mix. And subsequent to that, I've had some consultations with Dustin Sulak out of Massachusetts or Dr. Frankel from Greenbridge Medical out of California. They both specialize in administering cannabis for illnesses. And they both recommended that I would use this salad approach where you would mix different strains to get the variety, much as a salad gets you a better benefit. And it made sense. So that's what I've been doing since then. I've been trying to mix strains of CBD and THC.
Greg, how has your wife handled all this over the last few years?
She really has been amazing. She's, you know, I sort of felt like I was her doctor, which was really scary. It was probably scarier for her, but, but, you know, the medical community doesn't have anything to offer. I'm not saying that's a negative against them, but the standard of care is just chemo and radiation. And so, you know, I had to sort of take things into my own hands. And I've heard some of your other interviews and I've heard other people say that. It's just sort of like you feel like, okay, here we go, you know. And so how did she feel? I mean, it took her a while, but we slowly got into the regimen, you know, the routine, and it became very smooth. We were using a hyperbaric chamber and all sorts of stuff. Anything that was non-traditional, we were trying to, you know, juicing, supplements, but cannabis was the backbone or the point of the spear, in my opinion.
Are her doctors aware that she uses cannabis oil?
Yes, to get it legally. My insurance actually pays for it, believe it or not. And to get it legally, we have to have the doctor sign off. So they have to sign my medical card, you know, so, that's how it's done in Illinois.
Now, when she had the second brain operation to remove what was left that the first surgeon left in her brain, what was the doctor's prognosis after that?
I don't recall him saying anything. I think we all sort of know at that time that GBMs, they call this particular disease the Terminator, and there's a reason for it, you know. And so I think we all knew. It's sort of like sometimes, he didn't really give me the prognosis. I don't recall him ever saying anything. I think it was just more like, hey, it's not worth doing this third surgery unless you're going to do standard of care. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we've interviewed a woman in Scotland, Lynn Cameron, who had the same issue as your wife, and she was on cannabis as well, and she's coming up to 4.5 years.
Yes, I heard that interview. I was blown away. I was really excited to hear that kind of an interview, you know. And you know, one thing that I keep on reflecting on is we haven't done anything since, June of 2017. She's been doing now cannabis for 3 years. We haven't done anything else other than she did have some Avastin infusions, which are to help with edema on the brain a couple times. But we haven't done anything else other than just cannabis for almost 3 years now. So when I talk to other people that have GBMs, and then I heard that interview with that lady, I was so encouraged because, you know, I felt like Sally was on a roll. And then, you know, we have a little bit of a setback right now we're trying to deal with, but we don't know the ramifications yet. But anyways, I'm still optimistic.
Can you elaborate a bit on the setback you're currently undergoing?
Sure. So, roughly December, January of this, of 19 and 20, every year she gets this, I don't know if it's residual from the radiation therapy she took, but she gets edema on the brain. It only shows up like once a year. And so we're sort of watching for it. And what happens is she'll start to, her left side will become weak and it'll be pretty obvious. So immediately we'll get her on steroids or get her these Avastin infusions. These Avastin infusions are usually about 3 over a period of about 6 weeks. And one of the side benefits of Avastin is it actually reduces edema on the brain. And so this most recent one, we were watching for it. In fact, I told my daughter, I said, we're getting close to that time when mom might start getting edema on the brain. And a week later, it started happening. I couldn't believe it. So we were all over it. But then coming out of that, it seemed like her left side was a little bit weaker. And the subsequent MRIs now are showing that the tumor cavity is vacant. There's no tumor, but they do see some contrast in other parts of the brain. And the doctor actually said, I haven't seen this before. This is a little bit different. This is unusual. I'm going to bring it before the tumor board this following Monday, next Monday, for Northwestern Medicine. And he asked for an MRI of her spine. And that took about an hour and a half. We had that done today. And so the jury's out. We don't really know what's going on. So we don't know if the weak left side is due to residual effects of the edema on the brain in January, or if there's truly something else where the metastasizing is happening outside of the brain or not. And I did some research, and about 1% of long-term GBM survivors could have metastasis outside of the brain cavity. It can go to the lungs, the liver, the spine. And so we're we're just trying to see what's going on.
Boy, that's scary, isn't it?
It is. It can be. Yeah, it can be. We're believers, so I my faith, our faith is strong, and we're trusting. But yeah, I mean, I'm human, so yeah, it can be scary. Yeah, for sure. And I love her, obviously. So,
absolutely. How is her attitude now?
She's doing really good. We've got a great group of people around, you know, helping us, and you know, she's encouraged, and she's doing very well, I think, overall. Again, her deficiencies are she's lost sight in her peripheral vision to the left. They had to cut through the optical nerve. Mm. So she's lost her sight there, and she has a little bit of a Gant in left paralysis in the left arm. But I mean, overall, she's got a great outlook. Yeah.
So they think the tumor, if it's gone outside the brain, may be somewhere in her spine?
Possibly. Yeah, that's why she's a little bit weak on the left side, possibly. So we'll find out, yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, is she totally blind in that eye, or just her peripheral vision?
Right. She is, to get to the tumor in the first surgery back in 2016, the doctor told me in advance, hey, I'm going to have to cut through the optic nerve to get to the tumor. And at that point in time, I thought that was a small amount to pay, you know, to get to the tumor. So yeah, we had to make that decision. And she's lost her peripheral vision in both of her eyes to the left. So when I play cards, I sit on the left of her so that she can't see what I'm doing. She can't see my cards. So that's how I would sit there.
There's a method to your madness.
She's still a card shark. Yeah. She's very good. She's very intimidating.
Yeah. How's your daughter coping with this?
Doing well. She's great support. She's doing great. Yeah. She's my son is 28, my daughter's 30. They're great support. Yeah, for sure. Very encouraging, and always trying to encourage us in that way. And it's just a long haul. It's a long haul. What can I say? I mean, it's coming up on 4 years, and you know, life, it's the new normal, right? So it is a little different. But we're trusting. So yeah, it's good. So,
and it sounds like all in all, she's got that your wife has a pretty good quality of life and is able to pretty much lead a, in quotations, normal life, whatever normal is these days.
Right, right. Yeah.
Pick a day.
Yeah. No, we feel blessed very much because I've been on some other webs, you know, Facebook pages and stuff, and my daughter shared some other things, and there's people out there with GBMs that have a whole lot worse than we do. I mean, it's a very aggressive brain cancer, and obviously the motor planning skills can be anything that you lose, you know, walking, you know, all sorts of things, you know, so we feel very, very fortunate, you know, so yeah, very fortunate. And I want to help other people. That's what I want to do. That's why I'm doing this. I wanted to reach out to you guys because I wanted to share our story. We don't know the end of the story, but I wanted to share where we're at. And I heard the lady from Scotland, and I thought that was really quite encouraging. And so for GBM patients, I point people towards Cannabis Health Radio because I said, you got to hear these stories. You know, you got to hear what's going on. And there could be a solution, possibly. You know, it doesn't work for everybody every time, but, you know, traditional medicine doesn't have the answer right now. So,
no, I mean, cannabis oil's got about an 80% success rate. So that's pretty good.
It's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the ones that tend to be more successful, Greg, are the ones that take their health into their own hands and take control of the situation versus the cancer controlling them. So, yes, do the cannabis oil, but how's that diet of yours? You know, like,
right.
A holistic approach, just not, you know, not just cannabis oil.
Correct. Yeah, I think it's a multi-pronged approach. I think it's not just one thing alone. It's a multi. You want to attack it from every angle possible. So she hasn't had any sugar, and she's lost 30 pounds, and she hasn't had any sugar for 3.5 years. I mean, we basically eat a whole food diet, you know, and juicing pretty consistently. So yeah.
Yeah, I think cannabis oil is kind of like the foundation, you know, the thing that's holding it all up. But, you know, yes, it's a holistic approach, mind, body, spirit. You know, what is your diet like? And, you know, are there some supplements you could be doing? And have you addressed some emotional level issues that may be creating health problems? So it sounds like you've covered all the bases and you've done extremely well for her to be here with us today. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. We're just really grateful to have her. Yeah. When you hear that diagnosis, 12 months, and you're sitting here looking back at 12 months, which is quite a ways back, and I'm looking forward to 4 years, and I'm just hoping that that'll continue, So, grateful for the plant, grateful for all the people that are pushing it. I'm so excited to see it coming into the States. I think our government's using it to get tax revenue, which is fine if that's what they want, to get it medicinally, but it's becoming more and more prevalent in the States, as being accepted. So I think it's getting a lot of traction. So I think in 5 years, the whole landscape's going to look differently,
Where do you think she'd be today without cannabis?
She wouldn't be here.
You don't want to speculate.
I don't see how. To know that we had our first surgery and literally 2 months later, what is that, September, October? A little over 2 months later, it was back at the same size. The tumor had grown in 2 months back to the same size. That gives you the perspective, So, yeah.
It's a very, very fast-growing, deadly tumor. And
correct.
Your wife is in one of the categories where she has survived longer than the majority of people who have had this particular type of cancer.
Correct. Yep. Yeah. And I noticed that my oncologist, when we talked to him, he's like, whatever you're doing, just keep it up. And I believe that his patients are, he doesn't have a lot of long-term patients, so he's happy to see us and he's great. He's one of the few oncologists that actually is willing to do anything for us we want. He's amazing. Yeah. So I hear a lot of bad stories about oncologists, but I have nothing but good news and good things to say about ours. So, So we're very blessed. Yeah.
That's very encouraging because several weeks ago when we interviewed Rusty Reynolds of New Jersey, whose wife had exactly what your wife had, mm-hmm. he knew nothing about cannabis, absolutely nothing. And when she was diagnosed with glioblastoma multiforme, he did a lot of research because the doctor mm-hmm. said that she had 14 months.
Mm-hmm.
And when he started researching cannabis, it took him quite a while, but he realized in month 11 of this 14-month life term that he started giving her cannabis. And the cannabis prevented the tumor from growing any further. But then mm-hmm. when she had some lung issues, she was admitted to hospital. And the hospital refused to allow him to give her cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And she died.
Hmm.
And I think the oncologist you have is absolutely, he or she is a gold mine.
Yes.
Because, as you said, he doesn't deal with many people who have a long-term prognosis. And your wife has. And what, mm-hmm. what she's doing, as you mentioned earlier in the interview, she has this cavity in her brain where the tumor was, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah. And so what's happening now is the tumor may have spread, but I think with cannabis, you can beat this. She can beat this. And she can become the Lynn Cameron of America by just consuming as much cannabis as she can get in her body. Because Lynn has a very positive outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
And as Corey said, it's a holistic approach, body, mind, and spirit. If you believe you are going to conquer this, you will. But if you give up, you will find that the prognosis won't be as long as you hoped for.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Lynn is the lady from Scotland, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, she's doing fantastic. That's great. It's so encouraging to have other people ahead of you, for lack of better words, and love to help the people behind us, and drag them along, so with anything we can do. So to help people out would be great. So yeah, that's awesome.
So in a couple of weeks, you hear about the results of the, was it MRI or a scan today? MRI.
Yeah, it's an MRI. So it's a spine MRI. Yeah, full spine MRI. Mm-hmm.
So when we post this in a couple of weeks, let us know what the results were, and we can include it in the write-up to the podcast.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I'll follow up with you, Ian. Mm-hmm.
That would be great. Anything you want to say in conclusion, Greg?
Grateful for your show. Really am. I point everybody to it. I've said that before. I'll say it again because I believe I just want to get the word out. It's sort of funny. My dad passed last year. He was 94, I think. And he was always trying to help people. And the kids are really joking with me because here I am. I'm in the same boat. And I'm trying to help people. I've got four or five people right now I'm trying to help with cannabis and pointing them in that direction. So I believe just your program is one of those things where on the web I can point people that say, hey, you need to hear testimonies of people that have survived this or that. And so it's a very testimonies are powerful. Mm-hmm. You know, that you can't deny them, you know. And so I would say that, you know, keep up the great work. I appreciate what you guys are doing. And so that's what I would say to sign off with.
Well, you're absolutely right. When Corey and I started this, we decided we're not going to talk about the business of cannabis. We're not going to talk about recreational. If people want to smoke cannabis, that's fine. What we want to do is talk about the medical aspects of it and have people tell their stories. Because as you mentioned, stories are extremely powerful. And it's a one-to-one relationship that people have. And we find that most people who, would you agree with this, Corey? Most people we've talked to always want to help other people.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's the beauty of it. You don't hear a lot of people say, well, I'm going to take chemo and radiation and I want to help you. Well, Christ, you're not going to help anybody.
It's like once they've seen what it's done for them or their loved one, they feel like they need to share, which is great. Yeah.
It does come back to the bad rap that cannabis has and the way the laws have been directed around the world globally against the plant, you know. So it's the stigma that comes with it. I would even confess that if I'm being asked with you guys that when they made it legal in Illinois, I'm like, oh, sure, another way to whatever.
Yeah,
you know, and it wasn't until I became educated properly that you know, my heart was turned towards, okay, this has got some, there's something here, you know. I had no idea there was a medicinal value at all, but I do know that I think the doctors way back when in the pre-40s used to have the black bags, used to have cannabis with them, I guess. And there's a whole big story about that, you know, and how it got eliminated and everything. But so I never knew it had a medicinal value. Now I know now. So I'm ready to tell everybody about it. So I'm all about it.
Well, that's great, Greg. Tell your wife, Sally, that we expect to be at her birthday party in 10 years from now.
That'd be awesome. Maybe we'll come up to where the sun's at in British Columbia or something like that.
Yeah, it's got to be the summer. Yeah, that's right. No, I appreciate it. Tell her to keep her faith and she'll make it through this.
Okay, well, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Okay, take care. I'll be in touch, Ian.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you'd like to support us, there's a way you can do that, a number of ways, actually. You can become a monthly supporter for as little as $5 per month on our Patreon page, and you can also make a one-time donation through our website, cannabishealthradio.com. And we'd like to thank listeners for supporting us and sharing our podcasts with others who would benefit from having these testimonials about the healing power of cannabis. And spread the word about our show. We'd greatly appreciate it. And also subscribe to YouTube. We're trying to hit 10,000 subscribers by the end of the summer. And you can help us by subscribing to Cannabis Health Radio. And you can also help us by writing a review on the iTunes or Spotify or Google, wherever you listen to this, and share the podcast on social media. You just might help save a life. Thanks everyone for listening. We're grateful for your support. We'll be back next week with another episode of Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.